never been a moment like this. Never been a time like now. In my heart you will always exist. Calling me on somehow. Sail away. You're listening to Osho Radio. We bring you a program of 1 hour with a discourse by Osho and beautiful music for you to relax and enjoy. This program is for everybody out there living in the busy marketplace. Just enjoy, and maybe you can use it as your meditation. Today's discourse is from the series The Dhammapada, Volume 3, Number 3. Osho talks about the one and only method by Buddha, which is watching everything that is going on inside of you. You react to what is going on all around you, all the time, but also you react upon your own inner voices that have been there for a long, long time. Don't fight, don't repress, just watch. In this discourse, Osho also talks about the difference between Buddhism and Christianity. In Christianity, there is still the other. The other is important, and you suffer for the other. You do things for the other. In Buddhism, the outside, your outside relationships, the family, the house, the job, do not really matter at all. If you want to hear Osho talk further on this, you can download the whole discourse through oshoworld.com.
Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha. Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha. Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha. Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha. Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha. Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha. Theatre, Om Bekanze, Bekanze, Maha Bekanze, Ratsa Samudgate Suha.
Yeah. We can go into the sutras of Gautama the Buddha. Want nothing. Where there is desire, say nothing. A simple statement, but the import is great. Want nothing. Because this is how all the awakened ones have come to know that the misery is created by desiring. Misery is not a reality. It is a byproduct of desire. Nobody wants to be miserable. Everybody wants to destroy misery. But everybody goes on desiring. And by desiring, one goes on creating more and more misery. You cannot destroy misery directly. You have to cut the very roots. You have to see from where it arises. From where comes this smoke? You have to go down deep into the soil, to the roots. Buddha has called tanha, desiring. The mind is constantly desiring. The mind never stops even for a single moment from desiring. Day it desires, night it desires. In thoughts it desires, in dreams it desires. Mind is the constant process of desiring more and more. Mind remains eternally in discontent. Nothing satisfies it. Nothing at all. You may attain to whatsoever you wanted to attain, but the moment you attain it, it is finished. The very moment of attainment, and your mind is no more interested in it. Watch and see the tricky mind. For years it may have been thinking to purchase a certain house, a beautiful house. For years it may have worked hard. Now the house is yours. And suddenly, nothing is left in your hands. All those dreams, all those fantasies that you had about this house have flown away. And within hours, or at the most within days, you will be desiring another house again. The same trap, the same track. And you go round and round in circles. You wanted to have this woman, now you have her. You wanted to have this man, now he is yours. And what have you gained? All those fantasies have flown away. Instead, you are frustrated. And the mind desires only. It knows only how to desire. Hence it cannot allow ever any contentment. Contentment is the death of the mind. Desire is its life. Buddha says, want nothing. That means be contented. That means whatsoever is more than you need. Whatsoever is already so profound, so beautiful. You are living in such a tremendously beautiful world. With all the stars and the planets and the sun and the moon, with the flowers and the mountains and the rivers and the rocks and the animals, the birds, and the people. This is the most perfect world possible. It cannot be improved upon. Enjoy its beauty. Relish the celebration that goes on around you. It is a continuous celebration. The stars go on dancing. The trees go on swaying ecstatically. The birds go on singing. The peacocks will dance and the cuckoo will call. And all this goes on and you remain miserable. As if you are determined to be miserable. You have decided. You have staked all that you have to remain miserable. Otherwise there is no reason to be miserable. The thisness of existence is so beautiful. The nowness of existence is so incredibly beautiful that all that you need is just to relax, rest, be. Let the separation between you and the whole disappear. The separation is created by desiring. Desiring means complaint. Desiring means all is not as it should be. Desiring means that you are thinking you are wiser than God. Desiring means you could have made a better world. Desiring is stupid. Non-desire is wisdom. Non-desire means a state of contentment. Each moment living totally and contentedly. Want nothing. Where there is desire, say nothing. Buddha is not saying that just by not wanting anything, desire is going to stop immediately. You have become habituated to it. It is an ancient habit. For lives and lives you have desired. It has become autonomous. Even without you it goes on by itself. It has its own momentum. So just by understanding that desire creates misery, that there is no need to desire, that one can simply be and enjoy the sun and the wind and the rain. Desire is not going to stop so easily. Hence Buddha says, where there is desire, say nothing. If desire arises in you, just watch it. Don't say anything. Don't express it. Don't repress it. Don't condemn it. Don't fight with it. Don't evaluate it. Don't judge it. Just watch. Carefully. With no prejudice, far or against. If listening to Buddhas you become anti-desire, then you have not understood them. Because anti-desire is again a desire. If you start desiring a state of no desire, that is getting into the same rut from the back door. Non-desiring cannot be desire. That will be a contradiction in terms. All that can be done is watch desire carefully. And in that very watching, slowly, slowly, desire dies on its own accord. This is the existential experience of all those who have become awakened. I am a witness to it. I say to you, not because Buddha says so. I say it to you because this is my own experience too. Watching desire, slowly, slowly desire dies on its own accord. You don't kill it. You don't fight with it. You don't condemn it. Because if you condemn, it slips, dives deep into your unconscious. Then it starts residing there and it controls you from there. And if you repress desire, you will have to constantly repress and you will have to be constantly on guard. In the day, maybe you can succeed in repressing it, but in dreams, it will surface again. That's why psychoanalysis has to study your dreams. It can't believe you when you are awake. It can't trust you when you are awake. It has to look into your dreams. Why? Because your dreams will say what you have been repressing. And whatsoever is repressed becomes very powerful because it enters in your unconscious sources and from there it goes on pulling your strings. And when the enemy cannot be seen, it is more powerful. Naturally, obviously. Buddha is not saying fight desire. Buddha is not saying be against desire. He is simply stating a fact that desire is stupidity. That desire creates misery. That desire will never allow you to be blissful. So watch desire. Say nothing about it. Simple, very simple watching. Don't sit like a judge. Happiness or sorrow, whatever befalls you, walk on untouched, unattached. And happiness will come and sorrow will come. Because these are the seeds that you have sown down the ages. And whatsoever you have sown, you will have to reap. So don't be disturbed. If happiness comes, don't become too much excited. If sorrow comes, don't become too much depressed. Take things easily. Happiness or sorrow are separate from you, remain unidentified. That's what he means, walk on, untouched, unattached. As if they are not happening to you, but happening to somebody else. Just try this small device. It is a valuable recipe. As if they are not happening to you, but to somebody else. Maybe to a character in a novel, or in a movie. And you are just an onlooker. Yes, unhappiness is there, happiness is there, but it is there. And you are here. And don't become identified. Don't say, I am unhappy. Simply say, I am the watcher. Unhappiness is there, happiness is there. I am simply the watcher. It will be of great importance if someday in future we start changing the patterns of our languages. Because our languages are very deeply rooted in ignorance. When you feel hungry, you immediately say, I am hungry. That creates an identification and gives you a feeling as if you are hungry. You are not. Language should be such that it does not give you this wrong notion that I am hungry. What is really is the case is you are watching that the body is hungry. You are a watcher that the stomach is empty, that it desires food. But this is not you. You are the watcher. You are always the watcher. You are never the doer. You always go on standing as a watcher, far away. Get more and more rooted into watching. That's what Buddha calls vipassana, insight. Just see with inner eyes whatsoever happens and remain untouched, unattached. Do not ask for family or power or wealth, either for yourself or for another. Can a wise man wish to rise unjustly? The things of the world does not matter. The wealth, the power, the prestige, they don't matter. The Buddha cannot ask for them, for himself or for another. That distinction has to be remembered. Ordinarily it is thought that a Buddha will not ask for himself, but he can ask for others. No, he will not ask for others either. There is a story. A woman comes to Buddha crying, weeping, carrying the dead body of her only son. People have told her that if she goes to the Buddha, he is such a compassionate man, he may do some miracle. Buddha asked the woman, you do one thing, you go into the town, bring some mustard seeds. One condition has to be fulfilled. They should be brought from a house where nobody has ever died. The woman was very happy. This was not a problem because their whole village was growing mustard seeds. So every house was full of mustard seeds. She rushed from one house to another. But in her excitement that her son is going to be revived again, she forgot completely that the condition is impossible. It cannot be fulfilled. By the evening, she has knocked on all the doors. And everybody said, we can give you as many mustard seeds as you want. But they will not help because we cannot fulfill the condition. Somebody has died in our family, not only one but many persons really. My father died, my father's father died, and thousands of others before. Somebody's wife has died, somebody's mother, somebody's brother, sister, somebody's son. She could not find a single family where nobody has ever died. By the evening when she came, she was a totally different woman. She came laughing. In the morning she had come crying and weeping. She was almost mad because the only son has died. Buddha asked her, why are you smiling? She said, now I know. You tricked me in. You befooled me, but I could not see the point at that time. Everybody has to die. So it is not a question now that my son has died. He had to die one day or other. And it is good in a way that he has died before me. If I had died before him, he would have suffered. It is better for me to suffer than for him to suffer. So it is good, perfectly good. Now I have come for initiation. Initiate me into sannyas. Because I would like to know, is there anything beyond death or not? Is death all or something survives? I am no more interested in the sun. Buddha said that was the purpose to send you, so that you can be awakened. A Buddha will not ask for himself or for his family or for anybody else power, prestige, possessions, because they are utterly useless. Can a wise man wish to rise unjustly? That is impossible. Remember, the wise man is a translation of Buddha. An awakened man cannot do anything unjust. It is impossible. It can't happen in the nature of things. The awakened one can do only the right, the just. And to ask for power, prestige, money, possessions, fame, is stupid. A wise man cannot ask for them, either for himself or for others. And the Buddha knows whatsoever is just is already happening. There is no need to ask for it. There is no need to desire for it. Existence is very just and very fair. Es dhammo sanantano. This is the inexhaustible eternal law, that existence is very fair and very just. You simply remain natural and existence will go on bestowing 1001 blessings on you without your asking for them. Few cross over the river. Most are stranded on this side. On the river bank they run up and down. Buddha says again and again that people are in such a hurry, not knowing where they are going. But in a great hurry they are going somewhere. And they simply go on up and down on this bank, hoping that by running and rushing and remaining occupied, they will reach to the other shore. All that they are doing is just rushing up and down the same bank. This way you cannot reach the other shore. Few cross the river. Most are stranded on this side. What he means by this side? This side means death, time, this momentary existence. That side means deathlessness, timelessness, eternity, God, Nirvana. One needs guts to cross the stream, because the other shore is not visible. In fact, only this shore is visible, the other shore is invisible. This shore is grass, the other shore is subtle. This shore is material, the other shore is spiritual. You cannot see it. It cannot be shown to others. Even those who have reached to the other shore can only call you, invite you. But they cannot give any proofs. I cannot give you any proof of God. Buddha has not given. Jesus has not given. Nobody who knows can give any proof of God. God cannot be proved. You can only be persuaded to come to the other shore and see on your own. Buddha says again and again, "Ehi passiko, come and see." La 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 la.
Bring the song you fear to sing. All is welcome here. And even if you broke your vow 1,000 times, come anyhow. We're stepping into the power of now. All is welcome here. See the Father and the Son united, here they come, dancing to the sacred drum. They know they're welcome here. See the shaman and the mighty priest, see the beauty and the beast, singing, I have been released, and all is welcome.
Let him go.
This was Osho Radio for today. Before the discourse, you listened to a song by Miten and Premal called The Other Shore. There was instrumental music by Chinmaya Dunster and Jamie from their CD Celtic Ragas called At the Edge, and a mantra song by Premal called Teyata. After the discourse, the song you heard was by Miten and Premal called All Is Welcome Here. Then there was some music from the world of Osho from the CD Five Fingers called Back to the Source. And we'll finish with Bindu and a beautiful song called Inner Sky. Goodbye, everybody. Stay tuned, take care, and until the next time. Namaste.
Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. Without them I fly in the endless sky. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. Without them I fly in the endless sky. Watching the clouds on the inner sky drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between I see clear blue sky. And without them I fly in the endless sky. La 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 on the inner sky, drifting by, watching the clouds on the inner sky, drifting by. Behind them is the unknown sky, and between them I see clear blue sky. With them I fly in the endless sky.